All right, if I could have your attention in the media center, we're going to you our media availability. We're now joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Penzoy Ford. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get you a mic.
So, all right, Joey. See you later.
Go ahead, Dustin.
All right, good question.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. I don't want to bring you down. Since your Talladega win, in 11 races since, you've been the top finishing Penske driver twice. I know there have been some races, there have been some different situations, but where do you feel like you guys need to step up in these final weeks before the playoffs, and what do you feel like has kind of held you back at times as you look at just comparing with your teammates in that sense?
I think there's a lot of different situations that happen after you win a race I think that may have some reason for that as well. As we secured ourselves into the playoffs, that's a good thing. And don't take this wrong, that we're not trying to win more races, but it also becomes a priority to make sure our teammates are in the playoffs as well, so they can help us a lot through the playoffs too. So. And it also presents us an opportunity to try different things, right? We all talk about the big three and how fast they are. Well, we're not going to catch them if we don't try something different. So, and the majority of times when you try something, doesn't work. But maybe one out of 10 things you try, it does work, and you're able to make some gains. So I think just the mentality and the thought process has changed a little bit on how can we get faster, faster for when we get to the playoffs. Because the speed that we have right now is not enough to win the championship right now. We have to get better, no doubt. So the only way I know how to get better is you got to try new things. You have to be willing to change as a driver, as a team with setups, the way we build cars, our thought process. Things have to change to be able to keep up with the top three cars right now that we constantly talk about and we constantly see winning. So. We have to be willing to change and try things, and because of that, sometimes we don't get the best results for that. But we're in the position that we can do that right now. We're still fourth in overall points. We have 7 playoff points, which isn't a lot, but we'll also have some good points if we're able to maintain and stay up towards the front in the regular season points right now. That'll change into some good playoff points as well. So, we'll do as much as we can here the next few weeks to try to find some more speed. Obviously, this is a kind of a weekend that's just different, right? And it's hard to really say much, but I'd still expect the same cars to be fast. It wouldn't be surprising to see those three cars being three of the fastest, but it's also one of those type of racetracks that just, not much transfers over to most of the racetracks. Even the Roval is so different than what it is here at Watkins Glen.
What you're doing, what you're talking about, that happens year after year, and people win early and will try things. I'm curious, in the light of the big three, like you referenced, and typically everybody, a lot of teams step it up in the playoffs. There's a rise. So what the big three is doing and kind of the gap that they built among the field, is that forcing you guys to do more radical or thinking more? Are you having to look at things even in a more different way than what you would have in years past because the gap that those three have kind of built on the field?
Yeah. The answer is yes. You have to think, like I said, outside of the box, and you have to use everything you got right now. There's not really any holding back, right? I mean, what you have for new pieces and parts and anytime you develop anything, it has to get on the car as quick as possible because we have to catch them. And I'm sure, you hope they don't have more in the tank, but I'm pretty sure they do. If they're as fast as they are now, I'm sure that they have a little bit more left when it comes to playoff time. So we have to keep working really hard to keep trying to find this. And like I said, it's no secret, it's not just Team Penske or whatever, it's just three cars that are just faster than everyone right now, and it's and we haven't seen a run last this long of three cars really since I can remember. So it's pretty incredible what they're doing, and they got momentum on their side, and their teams are working well, their cars are fast, things are going well, right? They don't have many just, we had the fastest car and we blew it today. They have the fastest car to win. You know, one of them does. That's just what happens. So we know what we have to do. We just got to get it there and try to figure out what those pieces are to make our car faster.
Yep. We're going next to Lee.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. I asked Todd Gordon the other day about execution because Denny told us at Pocono that execution was the biggest difference between what's going on with the 11 and the 18. He said that basically that, they're doing all that they can at Team Penske. Is it time where, do you kind of look at things maybe getting stale between the drivers and the crew chiefs? Is it, might there be a spark that's needed to kind of get things going from that end of it? Because, all you guys have been with your crew chiefs for so long and it's worked for so long, but... Or do you just not punt because these guys are kicking your butts?
Well, I think it's important to remember, when you're going through something like this, and I guess it's easy to call it a slump because you just haven't won, but no one's won really outside of those cars. So you got to remember that. You got to remember that, hey, we've won 20 races or so together. You got to remember we do know how to do it. We know how to be competitive. We're race proven, right? So that, I think, gives us a lot of confidence and allows us to believe in each other and stay strong. And I think that's important to, sometimes you have to remind yourself that and talk about that, sometimes because it's easy for us, and it's only human, but it's easy for us as competitors to dwell on what we can do better. And, you get frustrated, oh, man, we made this mistake, or, man, we should have done this weekend, or, oh, we cost ourselves here or there. But sometimes it's good to look at the positives as well and look about what we did good over the weekend or years past or whatever it may be and make sure your head's still in the right spot when you show up to these racetracks. Because the worst thing that can happen is feel defeated before you show up to the racetrack. And when you feel that way, you might as well just stay at home. So it's important for us to learn from our mistakes and understand where we're lacking, but it's also important for us to show up to the racetrack thinking we have it fixed and we can win this weekend. So sometimes it's harder than it sounds. It's easy to say, hard to do, but that's, I think as an athlete, you have to think that way unless you should just stay home.
Have you ever worked with a mental coach?
Mm-hmm. I have in the past, yeah. And I think a lot of, things that, I think all sports are mental sports, right? I mean, no matter what you're doing, you can be playing shuffleboard and you can get in somebody's head pretty easily, right? It's just human nature, right? And if you could be mentally strongest person out on the racetrack, then that's going to play into your favor for sure. And it's easy to be mentally strong when you're kicking everyone's butt every week, right? It's times like the majority of the field's in right now that it seems like that's when you need to be strong to be able to, lead your team and keep everyone confident in that way, but also lead yourself.
We'll go next to Chris.
Joey Kirsten, 9catchfence.com. Does this weekend allow you an opportunity to play your strategies a little different to try to get some playoff points and stage points to try to help you set up for the playoffs coming up?
Yeah, last year we ran here and we weren't too bad on speed, but we had to win. We were a must-win situation, and we were swinging for the fence, and we went for a strategy that was going to either win the race or finish 20th, and we finished in the back, so... it didn't work out, but this year we're not really in that situation that we have to go all or nothing. But I think if the opportunity is there to try to go for a win, we're going to try to do that. And it is no secret a lot of times that we are sometimes off strategy. Penske cars in general sometimes get themselves off strategy and try something different. And hey, cool, why not? You got to try something. Sometimes you have to be different to be better. I think that's kind of fun to race that way. If the opportunity presents itself to win a stage or win the race, I'm sure that we'll do everything we can to do that. But we also don't want to put ourselves in too big of a hole where we don't get a good finish either.
We'll go next to Bob from Tinchman Blue.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. I think last week you said you liked the format of tech after qualifying. I was just curious after last week. Do you still like the format, and do you feel like any of the issues? Did you feel like your car was any different after on Sunday than it was on Saturday?
Well, the answer is yes, because when you don't pass post-race or post-qualifying tech, whatever you want to call it, the tolerances change on a lot of the wheel alignment stuff, which is a pretty big disadvantage from where you, what you would have been. There's weeks that sometimes you, it's not like the whole field is just trying to stick it to NASCAR, you know, it's just it's not the case. It's just times it seems like things are held a little tighter on certain weeks than others. I don't know, but I'm sure half the field wasn't thinking today's the day. Let's all get together. Today's the day we're gonna get them. You know, that's not the case. But it just seemed like it was one of those weekends that a lot of cars got busted for different things. A lot of cars were just all different parts on the car and different things. But when you don't make it through, and then you have to go again and change all your wheel alignment stuff, it becomes a pretty big disadvantage. So it's important to get through the first time when you can. And you know, I honestly say we did everything we possibly can do. You know, we missed practice, some of practice, to make sure our car was legal and make sure that didn't happen, and it still happens. So, I guess it's frustrating, and there's always two sides to every story, right? Competitor's going to say something, and NASCAR's going to have a different story. That's just part of it. But good luck getting to the bottom of it. Let me know what you come up with. I'll read your article. Let me know what you come up with.
Okay, we'll go next to the gentleman in the blue.
Hey, Joey. Justin Page, CMY Central. Is there something about the Glen for you that makes it a unique, maybe special place to race?
Yeah, every corner is unique when you think of Watkins Glen. I love it. You know, it's such a fast road course. It's a track that rewards the aggressive racer from a driving style standpoint, but also, just the way you race around other cars. And I think that makes it a lot of fun for me, because it's kind of what my wheelhouse is in. So you think of, some of the great racers here at Watkins Glen. Think of Ambrose back in the day here, compared to what he was like at Sonoma here, this was his racetrack. And I remember following him saying, oh my gosh, this guy is driving the living you-know-whats out of this car. And then I was like, well, that's what I got to do. And I was able to figure out some things. And, AJ is definitely really good at this racetrack. But I think as time goes by, everyone follows those cars, and you're around them, and you see what they do, and then you go, I gotta get my car to do that, and then they make your car do that, and you're as good as them, right? So they lose their advantage over time. But it's definitely one of those racetracks that's a lot of fun. Like I said, it rewards the aggressor.
All right, and we'll finish up with Reed.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Given the tight restraints and constraints of the rules packages, why is it so difficult to figure out what a fellow Ford driver like Harvick and Rodney are doing with their car?
Well, they're not going to tell you. Why not? and they shouldn't. It would be kind of funny if they did. I'd love if they did, but they're not going to. It's impressive that, really ever since those two have worked together, they've been the fastest car or one of the top three cars the whole time. Which is really impressive what they've done over there with their cars, and what they've done as a team is during the races. We have all the data these days, right? We have the SMT stuff to look over, and he's doing this different as a driver, he's doing that different. What his car's allowing him to do that, where I do that, I can't, right? It just doesn't, the car is not allowing me to do it. So, it's a little frustrating sometimes, because you can see it and you're like, I just got to do that, but you can't do it. So it's what you got to get to. I guess it gives you a good goal and it gives you a good baseline to try to get off of, right? He's driving a Ford as well, so we know it's possible. We just got to get to that point. So, and like I said earlier, it's a lot of trial and error to get there. And sometimes that's you give up sometimes, but you also gain a couple things every now and again when you think that way.
All right, well, that's our time. Thank you so much for joining us, Joey, and good luck this weekend.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.